did their homework today while they came and sat out. Think of four things that are grouped together in the Bible. We're going to have some fun tonight. It may take me a while. It's one of these where I can cut it off and move ahead anywhere, so I won't drag it out too long. But let's just learn some things. Let's learn some neat things. I like the neatness of the Bible. The Bible's neat. The Bible's got cool things in it. It's not a. To me, it used to be a boring book to read. And then when God opens your understanding to some things, you read it and you find out you can't read enough of it. You just want more and more and more and more. So God is a God of order. God is a God of order. Let all things be done decently and in order. Okay, so that's God. That's His nature. That's His character. Chaos is the opposite of that. So you find yourself in a church and there's willy-nilly chaos and here and there, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does things decently in order. Even when they did tongues, it was one and then another and then maybe a third, but no more than that. And then after that, one by course, then one stood to interpret. So God is a God of order, and God does things. He can be known by these things. You can recognize God by these things. So, things in groups of four. Who's got one for me? In the Bible, things in, like there's four things here, or four people here, or four of this, or four of that. Who's got one for me? Brother Doug, you got one?
There's four corners. There's protecting Peter in the prison, right?
Four, yeah. Hadn't thought about that, but that's a good one. Trying to see how that fits what I'm going to say. I'd have to put some thought into it. So that's the wrong answer. Sorry, we have a consolation prize for you, but you have to leave now. Yeah.
The four beasts in Revelation.
Very good. Very good. The four beasts in Revelation, right? And there's four in the book of Daniel. Think of opposites here, because the four beasts you see in Revelation are good ones. They're the ones that are with the throne of God. But there's four other ones in the book of Daniel that are not good. They don't come from heaven. They come up from the sea. Okay? So that's a good one. Now, here's the question I'm going to ask you. One of them's different than the other three. Okay? So you think about that. In both places, one of those beasts was different than the other three. Okay, so think about that. If you think you know the answer, raise your hand back. Yes, sir.
Would the three Hebrew children and Daniel be four together?
Yeah, uh-huh. And so out of those four, one of those is different than the other three. Who would, if you were to guess?
Daniel.
Okay, for several reasons. On the night that they prayed in Daniel chapter 2 for the answer for God to give them the vision, who'd God give it to? Daniel. Okay. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Four in the fire. Out of those four, somebody's different than the other three. You got it, right? This is fun. Who can... I'm not paying you for this, but anyway. Who's got four more? Anybody? Y'all don't read a Bible? You have one? We'll give you one. I'll send one up here if you want. All right, you hang on to that. Did you figure it out yet?
Which one is different?
Yeah.
One of them, I think they're meaning to, one of them is made of iron. The last one.
Okay, I know what you're thinking of. You think of the four kingdoms, right? Okay. What about in the book of Revelation? Which one of those is, you might have to look at it. It's in Revelation 4.
One of them looks like a man.
There you go. And the other three look like what?
Beasts.
Okay, so here's the thing. Anytime you have things in the Bible together in a group of four, I almost guarantee you one of them is going to be different than the other three. There's a reason for this. Okay, so what I have up here on the screen, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Out of those four, what are those? What do we call them? The Gospels. Okay, and the Gospel is, so let's do it like this. Let me illustrate this for you. Okay. Your Bible was not just inspired by God, it was preserved by God, and I believe it was organized by God. Man could not come up with this organization on his own. There's no way man could do that, okay? So what we have here in our Bibles
is, this is the old covenant. Can you go to heaven by the covenant that God made with Moses and the Israelites at Mount Sinai? No, you can't, because you already broke it. You can't. You already broke it. Nobody could. One did. One did. Which is why then the just demands of God are satisfied in one man, Jesus Christ. So therefore we can have everlasting life, and the promises that God made through the Old Testament we can have if we are in Christ Jesus. Okay? If you want to understand being in Christ Jesus, think of being in the ark. If you're in the ark, you're saved. Amen? Nobody was hanging on the outside of the ark screaming for dear life for a year, hoping they didn't fall off. They were in and they were safe. And God had shut them in. And God had let them out. It was all God. So they were inside there. By the way, how many people built that ark? Four. Think about it. Think about the connection. Because the ark was their salvation. And it took four men to build it. Out of those four, one of them's different than the other three. One of them was named Daddy. Amen? Okay? So Noah and his three sons built that ark. And think of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have our salvation. The story of the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ to satisfy the just demands of God for all of those who have sinned and come short of the glory of God is contained in these four books right here. Without this, those of us who are under the law, and Romans 7 says that, know ye not that a man is under the law so long as he liveth? Okay? Without this, we're condemned. So it takes this so that we can have this. The new covenant. Amen? Here you have the beginning. Here you have the end. And Jesus is both of them. Amen? He is the beginning and He is the end. So here, how many times did Paul call this the law of sin and death? This is what governs us right now. Rules over our flesh. Okay? And so we are destined and doomed to hell because we broke the commandments of God. Had it not been for the man who is in here, we would not be able to have... And what's at the end of this book? What's in the last two or three chapters of the book of Revelation? Heaven, new earth, eternity, everlasting life, our inheritance. So, without this, we here could not have this. This is what brings this and this together. The two things that God created in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Run that verse through your mind. Tell me what they were. Heaven and earth. The two things that God created. We're down here on earth. We will never make it to heaven except by here. What was it that Jacob saw that connected heaven with earth? A ladder. And what did Jacob see in that ladder? The angels of God ascending and descending on that ladder. And you know what Jesus said in John's Gospel, which is the fourth one? He told His disciples, hereafter you shall see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Who was the ladder that connected heaven and earth together? Jesus, right here in these four Gospels. Have you got that? So my goal, I think God's called me to a ministry of trying to make hillbillies smart. That was a joke. Y'all are smart. All right. So hang with me, all right? Now, take about turn to Ephesians 3. I'm going to try to go slowly for you, because I'm going to teach you something maybe you thought of, maybe you haven't thought of. Okay? So Ephesians 3, turn there. We'll read the verse. I was reading this verse back several years ago, and I was looking for patterns in the Bible, like number patterns in the Bible. And I remembered that we have three dimensions. We have like this way, and this way, and this way. We live in a three-dimensional world. Okay?
So it's this way, and this way. So I remembered there was a verse somewhere in the Bible that talked about, you know, depth and width and everything. So I looked it up, and it was in Ephesians chapter 3. So here's what it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Your hearts, how many chambers? One of those chambers is different than the other three, and I'll show it to you in a minute. That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. That means understand with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. So I went, why is there four? There should be three. But there's four. There's four directions. So let me ask you a question. Where's heaven? What direction? Point in that direction. Okay. So let's say you were here in Pea Ridge. You were in China at the same time, and you heard me ask the question, where is heaven? And you both point up, but you're both pointing in opposite directions. Who's wrong? Neither one of you. Okay? So we know the Bible says that heaven is up in height. Where did Jesus, when he left in Acts chapter 2, he rose up, he ascended. Once he left the atmosphere of the earth, where did he go after that? Through the second heaven to the third. And think of that. You have earth, first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. Four. And one of them is way, way far away from us. God said, as high as the heaven is from the earth, that's how high my thoughts are above your thoughts. Amen. And so I'm going to throw you tonight, and you're going to go, I have no idea. So don't ask me, because I have no idea either. But here's what the Bible is going to tell you about where heaven is and where the spirits dwell and where we're going one of these days. Because when we get there, will we have to worry about being too fat? Will our backs hurt? Will we need glasses? Will we have the sting of death? Will we have to worry about what we say? No, none of the things that we deal with here in this world, we're going to be above those things. Amen? So notice that he called the fourth direction. We have breadth, which is wide, and length, which is long, and depth, which is deep. But then we have a fourth direction called height. So look in Job 22:12. Notice what it says. It's not God in the height. He uses the same word here, the height of the heaven. Behold, the height of the stars, how high they are. So where is God and the stars? They're in a place that the Bible calls the height, which is a fourth direction that right now we can't even understand where it is. We can point to it, but beyond that, we don't know how to get there. And if you don't know how to get there, can you get there by yourself? No. So I mentioned the stars. What are stars according to the Bible? Angels. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? You should memorize those. You fight them every day. You should get to know them. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. And then the fourth one's different. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Not earthly wickedness. Spiritual ones. So that number four represents the spiritual world. Spirits. So think now about these books again. These four books, where did the person who was mentioned in these four books, where did he come from?
Top of the ladder.
I like this guy. You're going to travel with me everywhere I go. Okay? You'll be my guy, all right? In the Psalm 102, verse 19, for he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven. So God, that's how God's connecting it. He's teaching you. Height is where heaven is. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary from heaven, did the earth behold the Lord behold the earth. The earth is round. So how is it that God from one direction can see all of the earth all at the same time? He's above it all. He's in a place that we cannot fathom where it is, but He can see all of this round earth all at once. Remember what the devil did? Took Jesus where? To an exceeding high place. It exceeded high. And He showed Him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. How did He do that? He was above this plane of existence here. That's how He showed it to Him. Proverbs, let me finish reading this. The height of His sanctuary from heaven did the Lord behold the earth. Psalm 148:1, praise you the Lord. Praise you the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. So the Bible's putting these two ideas together. Proverbs 25:3, for the heaven for height and the earth for depth. The heart of kings is unsearchable. Heaven for height. We don't know how low the bottomless pit goes, do we? We can't search it. We don't know how high heaven is, do we? We can't search it. We can't fathom it. So back to Ephesians 3. So we have four directions, and we can point this way and this way, and we can point this way and this way, and we can point like this, and we can point like this, but still heaven is in a place beyond where we're able to point. Amen? So out of the four directions, one of those directions is different than the other three. Does everybody understand that now? And that's where God is. That's where the angels exist. That's where the spirits are, which is why we can't see them always. There are times when we can. You may have entertained one day, right? Okay. So where am I going with this? Okay. So let me teach you. I learned what science calls the fourth dimension. I learned it from the King James Bible. I went, oh, this is so cool. Because everything I read about it, there was verses in the Bible that said exactly that. So here's what I want you to think about. A fourth spatial direction that we cannot currently perceive or point to in our three-dimensional space. We are limited in this world, how we think, how we see things, our perspective of things. We're limited in it, so we can't quite figure out exactly where it is, but we know it's there. People a lot smarter than me have done the math on it. I don't know how they do math on a place that nobody knows where it is, but they've done the math on it. They know it exists. Mathematicians have been theorizing on this since the 1800s. A fourth dimensional object is not bound by three dimensional space. Now think about what I just said. Because remember the fiery furnace. And how many do you have in there? And did that fiery furnace have any effect on those four at all? They were not singed. They were not burned. They didn't even smell like smoke. Like that gal at Walmart we walked by today. Amen. You know what I mean? Now, a fourth dimensional object is not bound by three dimensional space. Upon entering the fourth dimension, you become your opposite or mirror image. Can you think of a verse in the Bible that has mirror in it? A glass. Yeah, see through glass darkly. We can't quite fancy. You know that when you look in the mirror, when you raise your right hand, the guy in the mirror does what? Left hand. He's different than you are. He ain't the same. We all, as I'm going to quote this wrong, but beholding as in a glass the glory of Jesus Christ, something about that. I should have had that verse written down, but I didn't. But we all beholding Christ like looking in a mirror. He's the exact opposite of we are. He's immortal, we're mortal. He is sinless, we are sinful. Okay? He's from above, we are down here. The barrier between dimensions is likened to a mirror or a water surface. That's actually in the Bible. Job said that the heavens was as a molten looking glass or a molten mirror. Okay? Now I'm going to show you something. A fourth dimensional object casts a three dimensional shadow. Let me illustrate this. Everything that you see on the screen here, if you were to come up here and run your hand over these letters, would you be able to feel them? No. Why? They are two-dimensional only. They only have this and this. They do not have this. They're two-dimensional. So I am a three-dimensional object, as you can clearly see. I wasn't always. When I was 18, I was two-dimensional. I was really thin. Okay? But notice my three-dimensional hand casts a shadow. But if you were to touch my shadow, would you be able to feel that shadow? Because it only has this and this, but it doesn't have this. Does everybody understand that? Okay? So take that up one level. A fourth, you can call it a dimension, you can call it a space, you can call it a realm, the spiritual realm. Things in the heavens cast a three-dimensional shadow on this earth. Now, I'm using the word shadow. There are verses in your Bible that use the word shadow. A lot of them are in the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to show them to you in a minute. You're going to go, wow, that is so cool. I'm going to help you understand these things from the Bible. First, Mark 16:19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. So he went up, but beyond the second heaven, we don't know where he is. He was taken up in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Elijah went where? Up by a whirlwind. And where did he go? Mars? Jupiter? Heaven. He went beyond that and he went into heaven. Second dimension, not bound by third dimension. Daniel 3, we illustrated this. The fourth is like the Son of God. So all four of those, because of the presence of, watch this. Because of this, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because of the presence of Jesus Christ, therefore now there is no condemnation to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. No condemnation. They're not going to burn. They were not burned. That fire had no effect on them whatsoever. So, these two-dimensional letters on this screen, can they stop my hand right here when I hit them? No. They have no effect on me whatsoever as I pass through their realm. Okay? How about Matthew 14:25? Watch this. Notice the language. And in the fourth watch, what watch? Of the night, Jesus went unto them doing what? How in the world did he do that? He's not from here, is he? Amen? He can defy the physical laws of this three-dimensional world because he's not from here. Wow. The mirror. For now we see through a glass darkly. There it is. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Like in a mirror. And he's the exact opposite of us. And are changed, we're going to be changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by what? The Spirit of the Lord. See, it's the spiritual realm. And we're going to be changed from flesh to what? Spirit. And think about this. Man is comprised of spirit, soul, body, right? But for those who are redeemed, new body. Isn't that neat? That new body is going to be different than this old body was. Amen. Y'all are getting this, aren't you? Oh, there's that verse, Job 37:18. Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong and as a molten looking glass. So, in Ezekiel 1, these are like the four beasts in Revelation. Also, out of the midst of them came the likeness of four living creatures. Four, because they were not from here. This one that had the face of the ox and the lion and the eagle and the man. They were not from here. They were from heaven. So if I name the four directions, north, south, east, west, in Ezekiel 1, does anybody know where that chariot came from? It came from the north. Lots of things are going to come from the north shortly. There's an army that God is going to release. They're going to come out of the north country. Did you know that there's no land up there at the North Pole? There's no country up there. There's no politics up there. There's nothing but ice. So what was he talking about? He's talking about an army that does not come from here. So therefore, we can't beat them with bullets and nuclear bombs. Amen? So the four living creatures in verse 22, and the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above, and that was where the throne of God was. The word sea is 400 times in the King James Bible. 400 times. And notice this. There was a sea of glass like unto crystal in Revelation 4. Daniel 7. You can turn there. Let's spend just a minute there in the book of Daniel. Ezekiel, Daniel. If you get to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, chapter 7. You'll notice that out of these four beasts, one of them is different than the other three. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, behold, the four winds of the heaven. What do you think the four winds? Remember when Ezekiel was told to prophesy to the dry bones? And he did, and the bones came together and the sinew and the flesh and everything like that, but they were still laying there. So then what God tell him to do? Prophesy unto what? The four winds. Guess what those four winds are? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Life. Jesus. Amen? That's what makes dead. How long had Lazarus been dead? You see the order of God? He does things in patterns so we can recognize it. So he spake, behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. But if you look in verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was what? Diverse from all the beasts that were before it. The fourth one was different than the other three. So let's equate that to the four kingdoms that Nebuchadnezzar's dream was about. The gold, the silver, the brass. Those were the first three kingdoms. And we know that the first kingdom was Nebuchadnezzar. Second kingdom, the Medes and the Persians. Third kingdom, maybe the Greco-Roman Empire. But see, that fourth kingdom's different, isn't it? Now, I'm getting ahead of myself. I have this in my notes, but that fourth kingdom was different. How so? It was mingled iron and clay. So if the fourth beast was different than the other three here in Revelation Daniel 7, that fourth kingdom is different than the three that came before it. That fourth kingdom is not an earthly kingdom anywhere here. It's not going to be the Europeans taking over. It's not going to be Russia. It's not going to be Africa. It's not going to be Australia. It certainly is not going to be the Canadians or the French. Where are they going to come from? A different place than anything we've ever seen before. Okay? Matthew 12, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights. Where? The heart. The heart. Here's the heart. How many chambers does it have? Three of them are the same. One of them's different. Three chambers. I'm not sure exactly sure which one, but I'm going to make it up as I go. Three chambers. One chamber takes blood from the body. The second chamber sends the blood to the lungs. The third chamber brings the blood back from the lungs, full of oxygen. The fourth chamber is different because it actually is the one that gives the blood back to the body. It's different. Remember those four Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Which one was different than the other three? John, why? Okay, that's a good one. Have you ever read Matthew, Mark, and Luke? You should not guess. You're on camera. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic gospels. Synoptic means they look alike, like triplets, because they have almost the identical storyline, almost like the same outline, with the same phrases, same stories, same parables, maybe a little different in the speech, but all three of them are almost identical. John is completely different, written in a different style, different manner, talking about different things than the other three did. Does that make sense to everybody? So no matter what it is, the fourth one always is significantly different than the other three. And John starts out with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh." Amen? The fourth time the word "Word" is mentioned, the fourth one is transitioned. The Word from heaven came down and was made flesh, like us. Amen? Let's look at this. Remember what I told you about a shadow, right? Here's my three-dimensional hand, because it has this way, and this way. But when it casts the shadow is only this way and this way. It's only two-dimensional. Okay? So, fourth-dimensional object, a spiritual object, will cast a three-dimensional shadow. Look in Colossians 2:16. "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a what? Shadow of things to come." So, would you rather talk to me or that? The shadow. Which would you get more out? Well, you might get more out of the shadow. Which would you rather eat? A Whataburger or the shadow of a Whataburger? I had a Whataburger today. We don't have those up in Missouri. So we had one yesterday and had another one today. Okay? Which would you rather eat? A real something or the shadow of something? So which would you rather have? The shadow of salvation or the real salvation? Amen? Which would you rather have? The shadow Sabbath day or the real Sabbath day? Amen? Which one takes away your sins? The shadow lamb or the real lamb? Amen? You see how it works now? Now look in Hebrews 8. "For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and what? Shadow of what?" See how he wrote it? Shadow of heavenly things. There was a temple, a tabernacle in heaven, is there not? And God let Moses see it. And then he said, "See that thou makest everything according to the pattern that I have showed you." But it was only a shadow of the real. So what does that make us? This life is not the real deal. The next one is. Because this life is but a shadow. And it passes away. Amen. Craig's from Shell Knob and he gets that. Oh, look at here. Hebrews 10. "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things." Wow! The law is only the shadow of the real. "Not the very image of things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect." The law was never intended to make man perfect. Never intended, because it's only a shadow of the real law. And the real law is
love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to show you something about your brain and how it connects to the body here in a little bit. So the law is the Old Testament, the shadow, earthly things. The New Testament is heavenly things. And the Old Testament always points to what? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Always. So without Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, could we even understand what the Old Testament was talking about? The Jews don't. They read this Old Testament all the time, and they don't get it. Because they don't believe in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I believe that one of these days Ezekiel is going to prophesy to the four winds. And they're going to live. Amen? So look at these four. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah. Who are they? They're the first four sons of Jacob in order. One of those is different than the other three. Why? Why is Judah different than the other three? Huh? Jesus came from Judah. Jesus is a high priest fulfilling the law. But high priests, according to the Old Testament, didn't come from the tribe of Judah. They came from where? The third son. Levi, the third son, was only intended to be a priest in this world here. Christ is different. So Paul said, because it's a different tribe, then it must be a different law, a different covenant that saves people. Not the old covenant, but the new one. Does that make sense to everybody? So that's why Jesus didn't come from Levi like Moses did. Even though he came, but he's the lawgiver, he brought a new law to us. A law of liberty, a law of life, and a law of love. Amen. North, south, east, and west, we covered that north is different. North is different. I've got some things that not for tonight, though. That's coming up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the Son of God. We already saw that. You mentioned Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. That was a good one. I hadn't thought about that one, but yes, Daniel's different. Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah. Who are these? Where did the 12 tribes come from? Four women. Think about what that means. And by the way, that was their first birth. Their second birth comes from a different mother. Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. So who's different here? Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah. Who's different? Why? She had Joseph and Benjamin, but why was she different than the other three? Exactly. He what? Loved Rachel. He saw Leah and he went, "No, thank you." I'd have to get really drunk to marry that one. And he did! But Rachel was his true love, wasn't she? It's love. Amen? Signs, seasons, days. See, on day four, let me give you four words. Let there be light. But the light... there was no sun, moon, and stars on day one when God said that. It was on day four that He created the sun, the moon, and the stars. And then He said, let them be for signs, seasons, days, and years. One of those is different than the other three. Can you figure it out? Three of them deal specifically with time. Signs. Okay? First kingdom, gold. Second kingdom, silver. Third kingdom, brass. Fourth kingdom, iron and miry clay. But what does the iron mixed with miry clay mean? What did Daniel say it meant? They shall mingle themselves with what? Oh, let's
go to Daniel chapter 2 since you don't know that. This is education night at Pea Ridge Church. You're going to get yourself some education. Daniel 2. Look at verse 40. Isn't that interesting? Verse 40 is the fourth kingdom. And I could show you that. I could go all night and show you this number 4 everywhere in the scriptures. It's amazing. Okay, think about this. I'll do this one. What's the fourth book of the Bible? Numbers. Okay? And in Numbers, they were bit by fiery flying serpents, and they were dying, and Moses was instructed to put a serpent on a pole, and if they were to look, they would live. Right? What's the fourth book of the New Testament? John. And he said in John, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. See, this was only a shadow of this. Isn't that neat? So, let's look at this fourth kingdom. The fourth kingdom shall be... This is important. This is extremely important to the time we're living in right now. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all things, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes... How many toes? 10. How many horns on the heads of the beast? 10. And what are they? 10 kings. So that's what these toes represent. 10 kings. But these kings, because they're the fourth kingdom, they don't come from here. They are principalities. A prince in the Bible is a king. They are powers. They are the rulers. Hear that word ruler? Rulers of the darkness of this world. And they are spiritual wickedness in high places. That's your fourth kingdom. So the fourth kingdom, verse 41, thou sawest the feet and toes, potter's clay, part of iron. The kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron, part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. So think of opposites. Notice all the opposites he's giving here. Iron is not clay, and clay is not iron. Anybody who's held them can tell the difference. You can bend clay, mold clay, do everything you want with clay. Hit your brother over the head with clay. And it won't bother him. He won't go crying. Hit him over the head with iron? That's a different story. That's a felony in most states. Depends on what he did. So, verse 40, note the opposites. Iron and clay. Notice in verse 42, partly strong, partly broken. Well, which is it? Are they whole or are they broken? The light switches that turn these lights on. The light switches are on or off. But they're not both at the same time, are they? You ever heard of quantum physics? Heard the word quantum physics? Quantum physics is the weird world where things can be on and off at the same time. Things can be here and there at the same time. A quantum computer works on electronics. Electronics are simply switches. They're electronic switches. The old computers, they used to literally flip switches up and down, off or on, to program the computers. Remember that? Okay, that's back in the 40s and 50s. So that's what your computer, your phone and your tablet, they're all ones and zeros. That's the code that makes the computer work. It's either a zero or a one. A zero is nothing. A one is something. But they're not the same, are they? But in quantum physics, they are. Quantum physics, they can be the same thing. In a quantum computer, the quantum computer works either by the switch being on or off or both simultaneously. Can you comprehend that? So what dimension is that in? Revelation 17 tells us the beast that was and is not yet is. Think about what I just said. He is not yet is.
What is he? Which is it? Is he is not? Or is he is? We need Bill Clinton to tell us what the word is means. That was a good joke. You guys are too hung up on him down here. Okay. Yeah. No, he's too busy on Epstein Island. 27 times. 27 times they have the flight logs of Bill Clinton going to Jeffrey Epstein's Lolita Island without Secret Service. He did not kill himself. He was dead. And you know how long it was from the day that they charged him with crimes to the day he died? 33 days. There should be a dun, dun, dun there. So this kingdom is opposites. And a kingdom divided against itself will not what? And this one won't. So look at verse 43. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with what? That's your DNA. That's your DNA, people. They've done it before. Didn't they? Genesis 6. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and bare children unto them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. How did these giants reach 7, 9, 10, 13, 20 feet tall and have the girth, the power, the strength to do what they did? Their fathers were not from here. I could teach you on that if you want, because it's all right here in this Bible laid out. They've done it before and they're going to do it again. The thing that hath been is the thing that shall be, and there is no new thing under the sun. Amen? Right foot, right hand, left hand. Out of these four, which ones? And your body has four. Right? Which one's different? Think about it. Think Bible. Yeah, right hand. Where's the book? Where's Jesus? Didn't say he's at the right pinky toe. It says right hand. Okay, yeah. Adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. Which one's different? Oh, this was easy. Come on, that's the easy one. You heard that from me, didn't you? All right, let's learn these. Adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. Let's find out what these are. Turn to Psalm 139. Are you smart yet?
Yep.
Amen. So, let me ask you the question. Where is heaven? All we know is it's up there. It's all we know. Since we don't know how to get there, we need someone to lead us like a shepherd. Amen. Can't get there on our own. Not going to do it. Psalm 139, verse 16. I love this. Psalm 139. If you go back to look at verse 14, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So now I'm going to, this is the message I was going to preach tonight, but it took me a while to get there. Okay? So let me show you the gospel in your body. Did you evolve from a lizard, a worm? No. You were made, fashioned by God Himself. You are literally the temple of God, not built with the hands of men, built by God Himself. Amen. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, David is saying this to God. God, in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet There was none of them. So let me show you what this means. In thy book, all my members, you have eyes, toes, lips, smelly armpits, ugly elbows. But see, the elbows have a purpose. The elbow skin has a purpose, doesn't it? That skin needs to be hard and thick and without a lot of nerves on it. Not like this skin here, right? Reach in here and just grab a piece of this right here and go. It hurts, doesn't it? So we don't lean on this. This is designed for comfort. This keeps, if you don't notice this, in the wintertime we do this. And in the summertime we do this. Why? Temperature control. Here's the shutters. Shutters are closed. Now the body's going to stay warm. We got to protect the vital organs. Shutters are open. We got to let the heat out. And the thin skin here is why that allows temperature. Either holds it in or lets it out. But your elbows is different. So the skin here is different than this skin here. And this lady here is different than that lady there in this church. This is the body. Not everybody has the same purpose, the same function. But you all came from the same book. Amen? Amen? So in thy book, all my members were written. So that's what we know about DNA. They know how to read it because it's written just like a book. It even has periods and capital letters at the beginning of sentences. It even has that in it. The scientists know where one gene ends and another gene starts. They just like you know how one sentence ends and one sentence starts. That's how scientists know how to read DNA. Okay? Or like this, in thy book, DNA, all my members were written, the family, the head, the body, just like Christ is the head, and we are the body, which in continuance was fashioned at this stage here, a human baby is not discernible from a dog or a calf. But as it grows, my, what a difference it makes. And Chuck Schumer wants doctors to be able to, if they botch the abortion and the baby comes out crying and breathing and gasping for life, Chuck Schumer says, kill it! It's murder. That man's evil. He won't know what hit him. Which in continuance was fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How old is this church? Does anybody here know how old you are?
40 plus.
When was you born? Summertime? Okay, so let's say 55 years. So 60 years ago, no church. Didn't exist, but did God know it would? And who brought the members here? God did. And they're all written in the book, aren't they? Amen? That's neat. So, DNA is deoxyribonucleic acid packaged in 46 chromosomes placed inside the cell nucleus. This is a cross, isn't it? And you have one in every cell in your body. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living. And you just happen to have a built-in cross for that. God provided it. Amen. So, okay, here's the tabernacle. This is what Moses saw up in heaven. And God said, make it exactly like you see. The shadow. So here's the... We have to keep things out. So we have to build a wall, don't we? So
Tell Trump, go ahead, build that wall. Amen? Build that wall. They caught two Chinese guys coming in through Mexico with the coronavirus. Already infected them. They caught them. Who sent them? Why not? Say it, China's. Yeah, they wanted a Whataburger. See, this wall's meant, walls are salvation in the Bible. God puts a hedge about you and keeps you. Where the sheepfold has a wall around it, doesn't it? And Jesus is the door, and nobody comes in but what Jesus says. Okay, you can come in, but you, no, you have to stay out. You got a lot to, there's a lot to learn from that. Amen? Things that should not come in. Because they don't belong there. Here's the altar where they burnt the sacrifice. Here is the entry right here. Only one entry. Only one. Why? Because there's only one way in. Only one. Okay? And here's the laver because you got to wash. You got to be clean. Amen? Here's the sanctuary. This would be the north here. So there's a table right here on the north side. There's a star in the north called Polaris. It's how anybody in the world can learn to navigate. Because that north star doesn't move. It stays in the same spot. The rest of the stars go around it. And there's one that goes around it called Draco. You know what Draco means? Dragon. Where is it at? At the north. And here's a table at the north. Psalm 23. What does it say? Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of who? The dragon. Amen? I love this. And here's the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant is. So let me show you this. Here's your cell. This is the wall here, membrane, and it only allows certain things in. There's a gatekeeper called insulin. I used to have diabetes because I weighed 300 pounds. Okay, and I learned about insulin. And insulin is the gatekeeper. Insulin is a Levite priest who stands at the door and says, this can come in. What it does, it lets sugar from my blood, which my liver converted the Whataburger, into sugar. Thank you, liver. Well, some of the Whataburger, the rest of it converted into fat. So that I don't die at night. Because your blood sugar in the morning is regulated by the liver because the liver keeps working even when you're asleep. And the liver takes from the lipids the fat and takes and makes sugar so that your cells can still live while you're asleep at night, while you're not eating. So no, you don't have to eat constantly. Yeah, what? We don't know that one. Okay, so here's the cell wall. See this right here? That's called the mitochondria. Here is the nucleus. And here is this. So this is the sanctuary. And right here is the nucleolus. See, I didn't remember this stuff from sixth grade either. I had to go back and reread it. And right here in the nucleolus is where the book is. Where your DNA is. Because Moses took the book of the law and he put it right here in the most holy place. And the book regulates everything that went on in the nation of Israel. Did it not? Okay, so what right now is creating new blood cells, new skin cells, new hair cells for some of you? What is it that's doing that right now? Your DNA. And does your DNA have to be told what to do? No, the DNA is the one in charge. Because it's the book. And the book is always in charge. Amen? So what is it that makes a sinner into a saint? The book. The book does. Amen? And we don't know how it works, but we just know it works. Amen? So this is this. They're the same thing.
So, here's the altar. Here's the altar, the mitochondria. Because when the family brought the lamb, I'm getting ahead of myself. But a family brings the lamb to the Levite priest, which are the insulin lets it in. What was it that they burnt on this altar? What was it? Did they burn copper and iron and nickel? Everything that had DNA. Lambs had DNA. Oxen have DNA. Calves have DNA. Fine flour had DNA. Olive oil has DNA. Everything that you can eat, because that was what the Levites lived on, was the remainder of a sacrifice. God gave them a portion for their food because they didn't have land. Right? So everything that was already alive came in to give Israel life. You understand that? The entrance of thy words giveth light and life. So it's just like this is exactly like this. So if Paul said that your body is the temple of God, he really meant it, didn't he? Okay, now, there are four pillars here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Imagine that. Because the sacrifice has to be made. And the only way in is through these four doors right here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And so I did a little homework. And these curtains here were blue and purple, scarlet, fine twine linen. Four. The pillars, four. And the sockets, four. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus is the door, by the way. So what was allowed in? The priest had to examine the sacrifice before it came in. I got to move fast. So just as the Levite priest examines the sacrifice and says, okay, it can come in. Insulin receptors look for sugar floating through the blood. When it finds sugar, it grabs it and it allows it entrance into the cell so that the sugar can be burnt on the altar, the mitochondria. The mitochondria burns the sugar that's in your blood, which is why you have a body temperature and why you have life. Because it creates energy, because it uses oxygen and sugar and burns them both on your mitochondria so that you can be alive right now. And the sacrifice laid on the altar was Christ so that we can have... You get it, don't you? Amen. So this is only a shadow of that. So that's that gospel, all right? Now let me show you this. Here's how your DNA looks like. It has a leg here. Remember that ladder we talked about? This is it. So let's say that this rung is the Old Testament. Paul said, but if the ministration of death, the Old Testament, written and engraven in stones was glorious. By the way, DNA is a stone. It's a crystal. And God wrote His law in stone in every cell in your body. Why was it written in stone? Why did God write the Ten Commandments on stone? Permanent. Couldn't be what? You think about that. Because we're living in the age of changing human DNA. They're doing it now. By the way, the country that started it, a doctor changed two twins in the uterus, changed their DNA because their dad was HIV positive. So the doctor went in and rewrote these twins' DNA so that they would not be HIV positive. And they were born in China. Where'd this virus come from? So here's the Old Testament. If the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? But let me show you this. What is it that connects this rung with this rung? Adenine, thymine, guanine, and cytosine. Just like
this right here. This is one leg of DNA. Here's the other leg of DNA. And they're joined together by these four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what are these adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine? What do they do? I don't know if I had that on here. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. So let me show you what these four things do. The pairing of these four, adenine to thymine, guanine to cytosine, because adenine only connects to thymine, guanine only connects to cytosine. Okay? So you have four pairs. When three of them, like let's say you have adenine, cytosine, and cytosine, that makes what's called an amino acid. An amino acid is like a letter of the alphabet. That's how we make words. So think of an amino acid as like the letter B. Then you have three more triplets. Let's say it's cytosine, cytosine, cytosine. Those three make another letter. And as the pairs, as the triplets keep making letters, the letters form words which make the genes of your body, which causes you to get sleepy at night, like you are now, or to wake up in the morning, or grow hair, or grow skin cells, or snot and boogers. DNA makes them. Right? It makes the members of the body. It's these four where the Word is. In the beginning was the Word. Let's look at this. What is this? Skeleton. Right here in just the body. The body and the head together, there's 66 bones. How many books of the Bible are there? And not one of them was broken. Amen? And you have four that move the body around. So the body is connected with these four that we call the arms and arms. Come on, quit doing that. There we go. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. So these bones here is how the body is stuck together. You are stuck with you. And you are stuck with you. Because you're part of this body. Amen? So, if you're worried, well, I'm the least in the kingdom of heaven. So let's say you're the little toe. Does the little toe serve a purpose? My dad had his cut off. And he walked funny the rest of his life. Because that little toe responds to the gyroscope in your ear and gives you balance. That's what holds you up. So is that little toe necessary? It's ugly, but it needs to be there. Amen? So let's say you consider yourself not much in the kingdom of God. You're the little toe. I don't know if I'm going to make it to heaven. But where the head goes, the toe's going. Because the toe is connected to the head. The whole body, like he said, fitly framed together. And then he said it like this. The head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. So the bones have joints. And then the joints, we are bone of thy bones and flesh of thy flesh. They told David, we are thy bone and thy flesh. He keepeth all of his bones, not one of them is broken. Let me move past this. Oh, let me show you this. What is that? It's what some preachers and politicians don't have. Amen? How many of them are there? 33. And what did Moses see in Exodus 33 when he wanted to see God? What did God show him? Jesus. The 33 bones of your back. So watch this.
In your spine, you have 33 bones, and you have nerve bundles that come out the left side and the right side. Because the brain is the boss. Jesus is the head. Amen? The head tells the body what to do. But can the body also tell the head things? When you pray. So when you're in pain, the brain knows, doesn't he? So, I mean, think about what happens. If, let's say, you get stung by a bee or you knock your hand on something, immediately we do this without even thinking of it. Why? Because part of the body is coming to comfort the other part of the body. This is good for families too. Because when we rub it, the brain releases endorphins. It's where we get the word morphine from. Releases a painkiller when we rub the wound. And this is one part of the body comforting another part of the body. While maybe the feet are running to get out of danger or running to find a surgeon. The guy that lost his foot. Right? The other part of the body is there. When you get the flu or when you're recovering from surgery, do you just hurt in the place that you had the surgery? No, you're weak all over. Why? The whole body is joining and sending resources to the wound so the wound can heal. That's how it's supposed to work in a church. That's how it's supposed to work in a family. That's how it's supposed to work in a nation. Amen. But the brain's the boss. The brain tells the body what to do. So, these 33 on the left side, 33 on the right side. Add those up. So how does the head talk to the body? Through the book, the 66 books. However, there's something I have to explain here. Because I found out I was wrong, which was quite damaging to my ego. Because the bottom two vertebra don't have nerve bundles coming out of the left and right side. So that means only 31 spine bones have nerve bundles coming out talking to the body. Which if you double that, 31 times 2 is what? 62. What do we have missing? But they're not missing. They're there. Because two nerves come directly from the brain and they connect to the neck and the shoulders and they move the head this way, that way, this way, that way. Amen? That's two of them. So now we're at 64. And then we have two more nerves called the vagus nerves. Anybody ever heard of the vagus nerves? What do? I want you to think about this. Because these two come directly. See, this is Christ coming directly from the Most High. And He comes down to the body. The vagus nerves connect to the heart, the lungs, the bowels. And they cause the heart and the lung and the bowels to respond to emotions like sorrow, depression, anger. When you get angry, do you breathe heavy? Does your heart pound? You get sick to your stomach? Or love? Remember the first time you held her hand? Boom, 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 boom. Oh, I'm sick. Oh, I think I'm going to puke. Right? That's love. If he pukes, girls, he's in love. The two commandments that we were given
We're to love the Lord our God and love our neighbor as ourself. So now there's 66. Four of them are separate from the other 31 bundle. Okay? Four of them are different. Okay? It doesn't get... Oh my goodness. Two arms, two legs, four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The right hand, we said, was different, right? I'm going to show you, just give me a couple more minutes and we'll let you go. Because I'm going to show you something really neat. In these four, there's 30 bones in this arm, 30 bones in this arm, 30 bones in this leg, 30 bones in that leg. That's 120. That's how many the church started with. When what happened? The Holy Ghost filled them. Just like God breathing into Adam. The breath of life. 27 bones in each hand. 27 books in the New Testament. So when a hand is laid on someone, Manasseh and Ephraim, what was he doing? Giving them the promise of the new covenant with Jesus Christ. Okay? Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. I saw in the right hand a book. The right hand of God. I've got all these verses on the right hand, but I'm going to move past this because I'm going to get to this. Because Paul specifically mentioned the joints and the bands. And this is deep. This is powerful. Did you ever wonder how muscles connected to bones? Muscles are soft and bendy and stretchy. Bones are not. They're opposites. You two are not the same. Look at him. He's nodding his head yes. She's going no. See? I told you. They're not. How many years have you been married? 20 years. You both agree on that one, right? Give him a few minutes, Lord. On some things, she's hard as a rock on. But on some things, she's soft as a pillow on. Right? So are you. But probably not on the same things. So, but the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? So, even with people that maybe there are differences, there's still some agreement there. I mean, you love him. He loves you. I love my wife. She went through this cancer, and we both talked about telling God that we want to die on the same day. Because I don't want to be without her. She don't want to be without me. We kind of laughed and chuckled about it. But and she's hard as a rock on some things, and I'm not. And she's soft as a pillow on some things, and I'm not. So some things that we just don't see eye to eye. But we love each other. So there has to be a way that the two can walk together, even if they don't agree or even if they're not like each other. Right? Because muscle's not bone and bone is not muscle. Except, let me show you this. Tendons. Tendons bind muscle to bone. Ligaments bind bone to bone. But how? Ligaments are stretchy, bendy, soft, fibrous. Bones are not. How are they connected together? Staples? Screws? Nails? This is Arkansas. Duct tape? And JB Weld. Super glue. I found this. I wept. Because
Just Google this. How do ligaments attach to bones? This article, direct insertions where the ligament is perpendicular to the bone, which means they're pointed in the same direction. 4 transitional zones exist. How many? So the first zone is composed of ligament tissue. The ligament is a ligament. That's the first zone. The ligament is what it is. Soft, bendy, stretchy. But the second zone, the ligament, starts transitioning with fibrocartilage, chondrolite cells. In other words, it starts hardening. The third zone, this fibrocartilage has become mineralized because bones are what? Minerals. They're stones. They're rocks. Calcium. The third stage, the ligament starts calcifying. And then the final zone, the tissue has now transitioned to bone tissue. The ligament tissue was changed to bone tissue in 4 stages. 1, 2, 3, 4. So that even in a church, when everybody's got a different opinion about Matthew 24 or the rapture or Noah's flood or Adam had a belly button, no he didn't, or whatever, it's the gospel that binds everybody together. And that gospel is all about love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. So the bone becomes like the ligament, and the ligament becomes like the bone. And if you stop and analyze that with Christ, Christ was here, but He came down here to be like us. Became flesh. He was God. He came down here to be man so that we, man, can be like God. Isn't that sweet? So it's like a church body or a family. They may all those kids are different. Right? Ain't one of them the same. But they are the same. They're the same in their DNA. The 4, adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. They're the same there. They're the same mother and father. They're the same in love. They love each other. I love my sister. I love my mom. I love my dad. I love my wife. I love my children. My children love me. We don't, even my daughters, we don't see eye to eye on it. It just makes me want to whip them all over again. I did not whip them hard enough because they don't think like their daddy sometimes. That aggravates me to death. But sometimes they were right. Sometimes they were right and I was wrong. So they become a little bit more like me and I become a little bit more like them. Just on a few things. Now we can all walk together. Amen. You praise God over this. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to let you go. Unless I got something else. Let me just show you this real quick. I'm done. I'm going to let you go. Hang on. You have 4 parts to your brain. You have 2 hemispheres. And divided into 4 sections. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? The right, this side of your brain controls logic, yes and no, numbers, reading, talking, thinking straight. This side of your body dreams and draws pictures and writes poetry and creates music and art, draws pictures and all kinds of neat stuff. They're different. My wife doesn't write my sermons. She decorates the church because I don't decorate the church. Or the bathroom. Amen? Because they think different than we do. but both parts of your brain are needed. When you read the Scriptures, the left side of your brain is understanding the words on the page, but the right side of your brain is drawing a picture of David and Goliath. What did you just see in your head? David and Goliath. That came from here. So what is it that connects this side of your brain with this side of your brain? It's called the corpus callosum, and it's called the great mediator. And it's in four parts. Amen. You get it, don't you? I'm telling you, you were made by Jesus. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.